In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers, and we want to make sure those advertisers are ones you'll actually want to hear about. But we need to learn a little more about you to make that possible. So go to podsurvey.com/lazygenius and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way we can bring on advertisers you won't want to skip. Once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/lazygenius. Thanks for your help.
Hey, Lazy Geniuses, I'm Kendra Adachi, and you're listening to the Lazy Genius Podcast. Here, we help you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things you don't. This is season 1, episode 8, and my guest today is my husband, Kaz Adachi. My girl, Emily Freeman, said that he is the laziest genius because he married me. That's actually a pretty brilliant take. He is steady and kind. He's a middle school counselor, so he's like basically a wizard. And he didn't get a cell phone until he was 40 years old. So he's also like kind of like an old-timey person. I hope you enjoy this peek into our lazy genius marriage. You ready to do my podcast with me?
Yep.
How excited are you on a scale of like not excited at all to willing?
Well, I think when the idea like first came about, I'd say that I was more excited. Not that I was excited then, but probably more then. And since then, I've become more willing.
Right. So what changed?
I think the fact that it would go out to more than 5 people.
Right.
That changed things.
Right. Because you're a pretty private person.
Yes.
So this is love, what you're doing right now.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. But I think the good thing is that, you know, like, I'll probably never listen to this.
Yeah, I don't imagine you will.
Yes.
So I could edit this to make you sound any way I wanted to.
Yes.
Which means I'm not going to touch it because it's going to sound exactly the way you are and we are.
I'm only going to say yes. And so you have to decide how to edit it. Reminds me of a Simpsons episode.
Everything reminds you of a Simpsons episode.
Yes.
Would you like to tell what the Simpsons episode is?
It's just where Homer is accused of inappropriately touching a babysitter. And so then he is interviewed by some sort of like news journalism show, and they edit it in a way to make him look terrible.
Right. Well, I promise I won't do that. And I'm just trying to think of a funny way to say that you would never inappropriately touch a babysitter.
No, but I would use a Simpsons. In fact, I used a Simpsons when I was in grad school. I use it kind of as the basis of a presentation that I did.
That would make sense. I feel like I remember this now.
Sibling rivalry.
Right, because that's one of the best episodes ever.
Yes.
It's when Bart and Lisa are on opposing hockey teams.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I just realized how often I say yes.
You do say yes a lot. Apparently, I say awesome and exactly a lot. So, that happens. Okay, so I didn't watch The Simpsons until we got married. Mm. You brought The Simpsons into my life. Mm. And I'm grateful for that because it's such a good show. Okay, so I need you to tell me, just pretend like you're talking to me. I need you to tell me why you didn't have a cell phone until just the last couple of years.
Why did I not have a cell phone until the last couple of years?
How did that work?
I never really had a reason to have a cell phone. Like, in terms of where I am, I would be at work or I would be with you. And
who else do you want to talk to?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's not really people that I really want to communicate with. And so.
Sorry if you thought you were friends with Kaz.
No. You're all wonderful. But yeah, just, you know, like there's not a lot of people that I need to communicate with. And so it was like, okay, why?
Yeah. No, it makes sense. It makes you seem like you're from like another planet, but in a good way, like a really like settled minimalistic planet.
Yeah. But I mean, really, it's just that, I mean, there was no point and just kind of like, yeah, what's the point of getting a cell phone? Why go through the hassle of that and the hassle of carrying it around and charging it and keeping track of it, and oh, I have to make sure I don't drop it on the ground or in the toilet or
So I think it's pretty obvious to say that you are
not that I condone using a cell phone in the on the toilet,
right?
Yes.
It sounds like, would you say that you're a pretty lazy person?
I
Well, just the list of all the reasons you wouldn't want to have a cell phone are pretty, I mean, they're very legitimate reasons, but like to carry it, like that seems like a now granted, I'm a lazy genius. I am all about lazy. So my calling you lazy is not at all any sort of judgment.
I was going to ask, would you say that I'm lazy?
Yes. I'd say you're lazy when it's appropriate to be lazy.
Mm. I would say that I'm lazy. Period. Just period.
You don't have wasted motion or wasted words.
You know, it's interesting, like, in terms of what I do, in terms of work.
Which you're a middle school counselor, just in case people didn't hear the intro. You're a middle school counselor.
Yeah. Like, when I meet with, especially like with parents, like people are like, man, what can you talk about for that length of time? Because I tend to share a lot, and like, you know, it's like, oh, this is information, you know, maybe it'll take 30 minutes to talk about, you know, your math for your child in sixth grade. But then I end up taking it to, okay, well, math in sixth grade, here's where it leads you, and then on to high school, and, you know, in terms of a career, let's talk about that, and then let's go into, you know, different options that are available to you, you know, and now let's talk about, you know, big picture, you know, this is kind of really what we're talking about at the core of what we're talking about, you know, in terms of learning styles and all that sort of stuff. And so it goes from, yeah, let's have this little, you know, conversation, to suddenly it's two and a half hours in, and like, what, you know, what just happened? And oh, by the way, you know, you really have to use a bathroom at this point. Kind
of thing. So what you're saying is, sometimes, like at work, you don't waste words. You actually have extra words.
Yes. The economy of words happens outside of work.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you really don't. That we have a joke in my my side of the family, that because you like to joke, you like to push people's buttons and trick them and lie to them.
Well, I feel like...
Well, hold on. So the joke in my family is, if Kaz is speaking, then he is lying, because you don't often speak.
For the record, I'm not laughing.
Okay,
see, now here's the thing. Like, I feel like the lies that I make, they're so outlandish and fantastical that no one would believe them. You know, like, oh, hey guys, Walmart's closed. Turn around.
But the problem is, see, no, you're very believable, and you are a trustworthy
minus all the lying, you're an extremely trustworthy person. So people tend to believe you. It's taken, how long have we been married? I'm going to make this pause extra long. I'm just going to add so many seconds in editing to make it look like you have no idea how long we've been married. How long have we been married? I have to do the math. I can't even remember either.
I've stopped counting the seconds because there's not enough. They're not enough.
That's so stupid.
Or it's been 13 years.
It's been 13 years. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So this year's 14 years?
This will be 14.
So, like, we're almost at 14 years.
Yes.
That's crazy. It's taken almost 14 years for my mother to finally know that you're lying. You're almost always lying to her. It's taken that long. That's how believable you are. Mm. Okay.
Now, I'm starting to realize the power of this. You know, like with Sam, I mean, here he is at 6 years old and he still believes that I pull things out of his ear.
He does. Or if you say to baby Annie, I'm going to eat you for supper, sometimes he'll start to like get teary. Like he's afraid you're going to eat his little sister. He's a very literal child.
Yeah.
I guess we have to pay attention to the power of our words around our children.
Yes.
I'm
trying to think, did I ever like literally try to eat Sam and so he's afraid that it will happen one day to someone?
I don't know.
You know, do I have a look in my eye? You know,
you do have looks in your eye. I can usually tell when you're like trying to push buttons.
But do I have the look of cannibalism?
I don't know. I never saw Silence of the Lambs, so I'm not familiar enough with the look of cannibalism. Mm. Okay, so would you like to, people love to know origin stories of things. How about we share our origin story? Because it's a pretty good story. And that way you don't have to like come up with stuff on the fly because you know how to tell the story.
No, I actually don't know how to tell the story. Usually when this story happens, I kind of listen to you share it.
Uh-huh.
And then it just ends up with me shaking my head like, man, what in the world? And I always feel like, yeah, this
we shouldn't be together.
Yeah, and I keep thinking like, man, what was I thinking? And
yeah, what were you thinking?
And yeah, I mean, yes.
Well, okay, so I'll kind of tell the story and I'll ask you for like bits and pieces.
Okay. And yeah, and maybe I can ask questions to clarify as
oh,
well.
That's good. We'll have a moment figuring this whole story out. Okay, so we met when I was 15 years old, almost 16, and you were
older.
You were 22.
Yeah, 22.
So that's, you know, 7 years now is not a big deal, but 15 and 22 is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
So we met because, we met at church. I was starting my sophomore year of high school.
Weird.
And you had just graduated from college and had come back home to Greensboro, to the church where we go to be a volunteer with the youth group that I attended.
Yeah, and it's not like I came back to Greensboro just for that, but yeah.
Oh yeah, no, like you got a job and all the things.
Yeah.
But that was something that you started to do when you got back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I remember very clearly meeting you. I was in a van. That sounds terrible. I was in a van. I'm sorry. I saw somebody today made a, I watched The Hangover today. So there are lots of inappropriate jokes in my head. So I'll try not to make any more like van jokes. Okay. So we were going to a start of school, end of summer, kind of picnic celebration with youth group. And so we all loaded into like a few cars, a few vans, and drove to some park or something to have this cookout. Well, I was in the front seat of the van, and or the front seat of the back of the van, and you were in the passenger seat, and our friend Jim Price was in the driver's seat. And Jim was kind of the grandpa of the youth group. He'd been around a long time. Everybody knew Jim. Everybody loved Jim. And Jim kind of, like, took care of everybody.
Jim was my high school...
That's right!
Bible study leader.
He was your Bible study leader in high school. I always forget that.
In my senior year of high school, yeah. He's my Bible study leader.
Good old Jim. So you were sitting in the van with Jim, and I was kind of, like, very eager to, like, do all the right things. And I kind of have always been a grown-up, like, even as a kid. And so
kind of like Sam.
Poor Sam. Oh my gosh. So Jim asked me, like, he introduced us. Actually he said, "Kendra, there's somebody I want you to meet. This is Kaz. He's just graduated from Duke and he was in my small group he was in high school." I don't know, but he probably said stuff like this. But I remember him introducing us because I was kind of like the student that he knew I would be nice to you. Because I was, like, a nice person. And I didn't want to, like, make anybody angry at me. And so I remember being like, "Hi, how are you?" And that was kind of all. And then I remember at this, like, picnic cookout thing that we went to, you were playing Ultimate Frisbee with a bunch of students. And you were acting a fool. Like, a fool. Yeah. And I didn't... You know, if anybody has ever worked in youth ministry, that's what you do when you work in youth ministry, is you pretty much act a fool. Because that puts kids at ease and, like, you can have conversations. But you were, like, crazy.
And see, yeah, you know, thinking about kind of me in youth ministry, as I got older, that changed as well.
Sure.
You know, like, I don't know if I... I guess it was just easier for me to be me without having to be on, I guess.
Right.
Okay, so maybe we'll just edit all that out.
No, that's who you are. Like, it's so very true.
Maybe that's me becoming lazier.
I think it's becoming you becoming, like, comfortable not having to be on. Like, your on is lazy. And that's okay. You had to turn it way on for... a lot of, like, youth ministry stuff in the beginning. And you did it so very well. Like, you were, like...
And I can't... I mean, I still do that.
You do that with the kids, for sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, like, you were going... But my point about saying that you were acting a fool is I remember thinking, like, that dude's crazy. I'm Brian Fellows. No kidding. That bird's crazy. You were acting so silly... And everyone was having so much fun hanging out with you. And I remember thinking, like, this guy, I envied you. I envied how comfortable you were, or seemed at least, around all these people having just met them. Like, it didn't bother you, or it didn't, again, seem to bother you how people saw you. If they thought you were acting stupid, that didn't seem to bother you. And in fact, it endeared people to you. And I just remember envying that, because that's, like, the opposite of how I was, especially in high school and in my early 20s when we actually, like, were together. So I remember the first day meeting you. I mean, I had an impression the first time I met you. You didn't have an impression of me. You don't remember this, do you?
No.
Yeah. So I've had to deal with that I've made zero impression. I'd like to think that if we met now, like, as I am now, I would have made an impression. But I still don't know that that's true. So I'll just have to keep dealing with it. That's okay. Mm. So fast forward, like, months and months, and you hang out with the youth group kids. I'm a youth group kid. And I just kind of start to like you and stuff, because you're very likable. And then, so you're not a girl, so you don't know this. Do guys do this? So when you're a girl, especially, like, a teenage girl, and you like a guy, you analyze every single thing they say, every single thing they do, and you see it through the lens of, I like him so much, maybe he likes me too. And so you can very easily create scenarios that do not exist. Do guys do this?
Yes.
Do they really?
Yes.
That is so cool to know.
Yeah.
So did you, when you started to like me, did you have scenarios? Were you like analyzing me, or were you like, nope, off limits, stay away?
I tried not to too much. Yeah, just because it would have driven me crazy, kind of a thing.
Right.
Like, I'm sure it did you.
It did. It was so maddening.
Yeah. I mean, you find outlets to kind of think about things and to talk through things and stuff like that. But at the same time, you know, it's like I couldn't go there. Just sure. Not healthy to be there.
Right. You're very disciplined in that way. So, okay. So we, I liked you and I thought maybe you liked me, but like, mm-hmm. That's insane to think because you're so much older than I am. And why would you like me? I was like, had weird hair and braces and wore overalls 95% of the time. So I kind of psyched myself up to think that like, I wanted to psych myself up to think that you liked me. But then really when I got down to it, I'm like, no. You can't possibly be seeing this. This is ridiculous. This is impossible. But it just kind of kept happening. And I kept like, there were just like little things. Like I just felt like you liked hanging out with me. Like it seemed that you liked to hang out with me. Maybe a little bit more than you liked hanging out with other students.
And I think that's kind of what happened. You know, oh yeah. Yeah, have fun. This person's great. And seems to have a lot of same interests, and here's someone who laughs at my jokes. And
did I laugh at your jokes?
I don't know. No. Not anymore.
No, not as much.
No.
That's called marriage.
And you know, and so it goes from this person's great, you know, fun to spend time with, to oh wow, you know, like spending time with this person too. I like this person.
Right. So.
So that's our story.
No, it's not.
Goodbye. Good night, everyone.
So we, a year and a half later, around Christmas time, this is when those email chains, became popular.
Yes.
No one had phones. Well, like a couple
AOL was big.
Yes. AOL was super big. IMing all the time.
Which, again, I did not have an AOL.
No, of course you didn't. Of course you didn't. You didn't have anything. There was, like, this email going around the youth group where it was, like, fill in all your favorite this. It was, like, almost, like, 100 things. It was such a long list of, like, favorite color, your favorite thing to eat, your favorite, not even thing to eat, like, your favorite dinner, your favorite snack, your favorite candy, all these crazy things. And everyone was filling them out and then sending them to the entire group. Like, kind of like, you know, get to know you sort of thing. Well, you, in private, typical cause fashion, you sent yours empty to the group. You did not answer a single question. And you said, okay, I want to see how well you guys know me. So you guys fill it out. Whoever gets the most answers right, I will take them out to lunch. When I read that, I was like, boom, I got this in the bag. Because I knew that I would know all the, or not maybe not all the answers, but I know a lot of the answers because you had been like, I'd been studying you like a specimen for over a year. So I knew a lot of things about you. And so I filled out the email, I sent it to you. And then I waited by the computer. And I waited for a really long time because you didn't respond for like a month, maybe over a month. So long that I kind of forgot about it. And then one night at youth group, it was like a little after Christmas. It doesn't matter. It was way after Christmas, but it was like in between Christmas and like the start of spring. So it was like February-ish or something. And you came up to me at youth group and you said, well, I guess I owe you lunch. I did not know how to respond to this.
All right. So by this point too, like, yeah, I was really into you.
This is like the middle of my junior year at this point. So we've known each other for like a year and a half.
Yeah. And so by this point too, I was really into you. And so that was dumb.
Yeah. 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 So next dumb thing is you said, I guess, oh, you lunch. And I'm like, what? And then you said you got pretty much every answer right on my like email thing. It's like in my head, I'm like, oh, of course I did. But I had to like play it cool. Like, oh, really? I didn't realize. So you said, why don't we, so I guess we need to plan our lunch. Well, I'm freaking out, like straight up freaking out. So I go home. What?
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It was a good, this was like one of the good freakouts. I freaked out a lot over the course of us knowing each other when I was in high school, but this was like one of the few times where it was pleasant. So I went home because up until that point, I guess we should clarify this. Up until that point, like I thought that I was like in love with you. No, now I know that that was not true. Like I was a bit infatuated, but I totally did like you and like to hang out with you, but I didn't know you well enough to be in love with you. Like that was kind of silly, but I was so into you and had like knew that you would never, ever be into me. And it was so impossible. And it was so ridiculous. And I would come home from youth group on a regular basis in like sobbing, like racked with sorrow because this man that I was so in love with and wanted to spend the rest of my life with as a 16-year-old, would never even acknowledge me and would never, you know, at least you knew my name, but I felt like that's as far as it's going to go. And I was so heartbroken I tried to hide it from my parents, but like, oh my word, mothers know everything. And mom totally knew not only that I like liked a boy, but she knew I liked you. And I don't even think she'd met you at this point. It was kind of crazy. I don't know how this happened, but she knew I liked you. So my parents knew what was going on. So I came home from when you said, I owe you lunch. And I said, okay, well, so Cosman is inviting me to lunch. Can I go? And they kind of were like, I remember it was at night when I talked to them because I was coming home from youth group. And so they were like sitting up in bed reading or something. And I went into the room to ask them and their room was really big at this house that we lived in. And so I was like at their door and their bed was like way on the far side of the room. So when they leaned in to whisper to each other, I couldn't hear anything. And they did. It was like they were like at a table in a courtroom. They were conferring and it was like, and mom said, okay, you can have lunch with him under one condition. You have to tell him how you feel about him. You have to tell him the truth. So that was crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy. Like what parent would make that like the thing? Like, oh, so this is like an inappropriate relationship and you guys are going to have lunch. Sure, you do that. But then you also need to tell them how you feel about it. But the reason she did that is because she was like, I'm so tired of seeing you so heartbroken. And if he does like you back, then at least you'll know and we can move on from there. If he doesn't like you back, then maybe you'll be able to move on. Like either way, we needed to move on. Like something needed to change. So I told you like, okay, we can have lunch. And meanwhile, I'm like dying inside because I have to tell you how I feel about you. Like, are you kidding me? So we have lunch. It was like the first pretty day. It was after church on a Sunday. It was like one of the first pretty days. So I think it was like March. I feel like it was early March. And so I got in her car and I remember feeling super weird being in her car. And we didn't have like plans or anything. So you're like, what should we do? And it was so pretty outside. And so we went to Brugger's Bagels and got bagel sandwiches and we took them to a park.
Now let's stop and just talk about this Brugger's thing. Like, did you regularly eat at Brugger's?
I think I did only because that was like one of the cool places that my friends ate. I don't care about Brugger's.
Really?
No. Okay. Yeah.
Because I'm thinking to myself right now, I'm thinking, man, like, I think I've been to Brugger's, like, to eat, like maybe 3 or 4 times in my life.
Right.
Including that time.
Including that time, yeah. I think the same goes for me. No, it was kind of like, there weren't a lot of places, like restaurants that weren't McDonald's. if you recall, like, there just weren't a lot of cool places to hang out like there are now.
And McDonald's back then wasn't classy like it is now.
No, not at all. And so, like, Chick-fil-A was the classy place to hang out. So, Brugger's was, like, highfalutin. Oh,
and it was a Sunday.
And it was a Sunday, no Chick-fil-A. Yeah, so we had to go to Brugger's. So, we got Brugger's bagel sandwiches, and we went to a park, and we had a picnic. Which I feel like was a stupid move number, like, 17.
Yeah, this is sounding like a date.
Yeah. And so, we're sitting there having a picnic, and I'm literally think I'm going to die. Literally thought I was going
to
die.
Okay, so to clarify, too, I think we had, like, gone someplace because you had mentioned, I think, that we needed to talk.
I did say that.
And I think because of that, like, I think we... It's not like
we couldn't go to like a pub, yeah.
And so, I mean, it was like, well, let's go and find a place to talk,
yeah,
but someplace public,
right?
Or, yeah,
but we didn't have a whole lot of people around, so we went.
But at the same time, did have people around,
right? Right. So we went to this park. We're sitting by the lake, eating our sandwiches. Like, I don't even remember if we talked what we talked about up before. I don't know.
Do you remember what you got?
I got chicken salad. I get chicken salad on everything. I don't remember, but I would almost like guarantee I got chicken salad.
Mm. Sounds like we need to go back to Brugger's then and find out.
Didn't they close? Yeah, it's like a minute clinic now. It's like a like an urgent care.
Not like every Brugger's turned into a minute clinic.
Well, the only one in Greensboro did.
No, there are other Brugger's.
Where's another Brugger's? Okay, after we're done, you can Google where there's another Brugger's. I don't think there's another Brugger's in town.
North Elm.
Well, we'll figure that out later. But, so I don't remember what we talked about.
Probably bagels.
Maybe bagels. So then it's silent for a minute. And then silent for a couple minutes. And I'm like, all right, I guess I have to do this now. Like, I have to say something now.
Because, again, this was set up with the understanding of, oh, wait.
I said something like, this is good because I actually need to talk to you about something.
Which I think you had mentioned that before.
Yeah, I might have, yeah.
Yeah, I think that, again, that was part of it. It was like, okay, yeah, but you know, we can go to lunch and we have to talk about stuff,
right?
And so that's where I was like, okay.
So, did you know what I was going to say?
Again, because at this point, you know, I was really into you, that I kind of thought maybe. And again, this is those situations where you're reading into things. And so, yeah, I mean, I can't remember. I don't remember things as clearly, but I'm guessing so.
It had to have at least crossed your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So I say, and I do remember things clearly. I have an excellent memory. And so I said, I am really attracted to you.
Attracted? Did you use that word?
I think I said attracted, or maybe it was interested. It was one of the two.
This episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Recently, I was driving the middle school carpool, and the two eighth graders were talking about how they had to take a foreign language in high school next year. One of them said, "Man, why do we have to take a class? Can't we just use Rosetta Stone? That thing works great." And while I tend to stay quiet during carpool, I did pipe up from the front. It really is, right? Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. It is available on desktop or can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with its intuitive process. You can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the Lazy Genius podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/genius. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/genius today. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I am a big-time verbal processor. Sometimes I don't know what I actually think about a situation until I say it out loud. And while I have lots of kind and trustworthy relationships in my life, there is one place that always feels safe no matter what I need to say, and that's when I'm talking to my therapist. Therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/thelazygenius today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/thelazygenius. This episode is sponsored by Olive and June. I found Olive and June in 2020 when we were all looking for new hobbies and things to do. Well, now almost 4 years later, doing my nails at home with my daughter Annie and Olive and June's Manny system is still one of the things I look forward to every week. Olive and June makes it easy to get a salon-worthy manicure from the comfort of your home. The Manny system has everything you need in one box, salon-grade tools designed just for DIY, and your choice of 6 polish colors. And y'all, the colors they make are stunning. Annie and I just tried out their new colors for Valentine's Day. I'm wearing Love Note, a sparkly nude that matches my skin tone, and Annie is wearing Bouquet, a shimmery pink that matches her personality. Plus, Olive and June's polish is chip-resistant and lasts for 7 days. Visit oliveandjune.com/lazygenius for 20% off your first Manny system. That's OliveandJune.com/lazygenius for 20% off your first Manny system. This episode is sponsored by Ritual. The internet is so great. My literal job is to be on the internet, whether on social or uploading this podcast. But because the internet is my job, I have developed a healthy dose of skepticism. I can spot a too good to be true hack from a mile away. And that's why I partner with companies like Ritual, who consistently overdeliver and exceed my expectations. Ritual's clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin has high quality, traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. Only about 1% of supplement brands are USP verified, and Ritual is one of them. I take my Ritual multivitamins every morning as I'm making my coffee, and I love how Ritual has made it easy for me to maintain this routine for years. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 20% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/lazygenius. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/lazygenius for 20% off.
But I feel like I said attracted. Do you not think I said that?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll say interested. We'll split the difference. All right, so I said, I'm really interested in you. No, I did say, you're right. I did say interested because I said, because the second part was, if you're interested, and I feel like you're interested in me. I never would have said, and I think you're attracted to me. I never would have said that. So it was interested. I said, I'm interested in you, and I feel like you are interested in me. Mm-hmm. And if you are not interested in me, then you need to start changing how you behave toward me because it's really difficult.
Ouch.
That's basically what it was kind of like laying down the hammer, like, dude, I'm 16 and you have to like realize that you're ripping my heart into pieces on a weekly basis. And then it was silent. You were silent for like an actual 7 minutes, because I could see your wristwatch. 7 minutes is an extraordinarily long time to be silent. But I just sat there waiting because my high school best friend is kind of, at the time, like, she communicated. We thought she might communicate similarly to you, and she is the same way, that she has to process things internally. Whereas I'm an external verbal processor, but she was an internal one, and she kind of had to do the same thing. Like when we would talk about something hard, she would be silent for a little while. And so she kind of encouraged me to be patient. She said, you know, when you tell him, it could be that he's quiet for a really long time because he's going to be thinking, just let him think, just wait, it's going to be okay. And I waited for 7 minutes. And then, do you remember the first words that you said after the 7 minutes?
Well, first of all, I mean, I'm not convinced that it was 7 minutes.
Because, it was so well, I mean, 7 minutes. I mean, here's the
thing. Like, I've I remember like skydiving and stuff, and there was like 30 seconds of free fall time and stuff.
This was basically free fall.
But it felt like I was falling like for a really, really long time, like maybe 7 minutes.
Do probably. I need to say again the thing that I could see your watch? And I was waiting for you to be silent.
There's
so
something,
I was watching
there's something
to see
called
how long
the parallax effect, too. You know, where at certain angles, things look like a certain way.
You're such a dork.
And so, you know, it could be that there was a parallax of time, kind of like you know, when you're jumping out of an airplane and stuff. And that 30 seconds of free fall, it feels like 7 minutes. And so that's probably what happened.
And I used to laugh at this when you would do stuff like this. I used to laugh. Because right now I'm totally, it's like all eye roll emojis, like major. Okay, so do you remember the first thing that you said to me after the 7 minutes?
I think it started with the words, I wish, but I don't remember.
No, it didn't start with I wish.
No.
You said, when I think about...
Oh, no.
My wife.
Oh, man.
Yeah. When I think about my wife.
What in the world? See, man, this story, I don't like
sharing
the story.
That's what you said.
Because I just come across as so terrible.
No, you don't. Oh, my word. No, I don't feel like that
goodness.
At all.
I mean, and seriously, and I mean, like, yeah.
You were just smitten.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was. And see, that's the thing,
dumb.
Is that you are...
So dumb.
But see, that's the thing, is I think you're such a smart person. This was like your one lapse in judgment.
God's protection, I mean, is just crazy.
Yeah, for this whole
because
situation,
this is
it was.
Dumb.
Yeah, it was really dumb.
So dangerous and dumb. So boys and girls out there, don't be dumb.
Don't be dumb.
Don't
use the word wife.
And I mean, he does protect you and stuff like that, but man, don't be dumb like this.
Yeah. Yeah. It was dumb. But the first thing he said was, when I think about my wife, I think about someone who is a kindred spirit.
Yes.
And you're the first girl I've ever felt that way with.
Yeah. I can see that.
That's exactly what you said.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there being like, okay, he just said wife.
Oh,
and he
man.
Said something nice to me. I think this is going well. Like, I still wasn't quite sure where things were going because I had been waiting for so long for you to say something.
I mean, that's the thing is that I think that's the thing is that, like, neither of us knew where things were going. Because, again, things shouldn't have been going.
No. And even in that conversation, you were like, you basically said, I don't want to do this. Like, you said that you did like me and that you said that you were willing to wait for me to graduate because we couldn't have a relationship, like anything resembling a relationship until I was not only graduated from high school, but like the summer after that, when I was like out of the youth group completely. And that was like a year and a half from this conversation.
Mm.
But you said by the lake with our bagels, you said that you would wait for me if I wanted to, but that you wanted me to not. You wanted me to like go and be a teenager and have other boyfriends that were my age and not waste my time waiting for you. Like, you basically were discouraging me majorly to forget about you. And I was like, sorry, dude. It's too late for that. So, So after that conversation, you, like, we had to, like, get things squared away with my parents. Like, tell my parents. You met with my parents and told them, you know, that you liked me and stuff. And I guess that was a little bit later. And then you met with the youth pastor, who later married us. So that was sweet. But you met with him to tell him, you know, like you were willing to leave the church. Like you were prepared to leave the church. So nothing was inappropriate. And do you remember that, how that conversation went when you told him?
I'm trying to think. Was that over bagels too?
No, that was not. I think that was just in his office.
No, it wasn't. It was over lunch.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I always envisioned this conversation in his office.
Yeah, I think it was at Cloud 9. like
way, like that yogurt place.
Yeah,
was like it that
where,
a yogurt place?
Yeah, and like I think that's where Iron Hen is now. But I think they had like sandwiches there. I don't know if it was like always sandwiches too, or if it was just.
I didn't know that this would be like the restaurant history of Greensboro.
No, it's just the sandwich. The sandwich history.
Yes. Okay, so you met with him.
Yeah,
and you said.
And so, you know, he's talking about planning, for the next school year and okay. You know, what do you think about taking this group instead of the group that you have now kind of a thing? And I was like, okay. All right. Well, before we get too far into talking about next school year, you know, and stuff, need to talk about this. And so it's like, you know, so I'm thinking, okay, well, I mean, yeah, I don't know if he wants me around, you know, after you hear this. So, yeah, let's talk about this first, you know, instead of just kind of talking about plans for this coming school year and stuff. And, you know, and so I think I said something like, you know, so I, do you remember?
I think the phrase was, I've become emotionally involved with the student.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, something like that. And then
I remember like, the word emotional in it. You're emotionally something.
Yeah, involved sounds right. And so it was like, and so there was a silence, you know, probably 10 seconds.
That felt like 7 minutes.
Which parallax felt like 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. Yes, the parallax of time.
Right, okay, keep going.
And so, after the 7 minutes of 10 seconds passed, you know, it was like, what do you mean? You know, emotionally involved, and you know, it's just clarifying, you know, and then it was like, okay, who? And then it's like, Kendra. And I was like, and then, you know, he said, oh,
that's
oh, okay,
oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's yeah. That's an okay answer.
Yeah, it was like, oh, okay, yeah. Well, I guess that makes sense, kind of thing. And yeah, you can totally see that kind of a thing. You know, and then I was like, okay, yeah, well, I'll have to talk to, you know, other people in church leadership and stuff. And yeah, and then I feel like we ended up going back to talking about the upcoming school year and stuff.
Yeah, I remember it. The conversation was not. Like, it didn't seem, it wasn't as heavy as I anticipated it being.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it wasn't the main thing.
Well, I mean, it was. I mean, it ended up being the main thing, you know, but yeah.
It wasn't as dramatic, perhaps, as I thought it would turn out to be.
Yeah.
So after that conversation... so that was like towards the end of my junior year. And then we basically just like had to wait until the following summer, the end of the following summer. And so like every few months, like it worked out, it was every like 4 to 6 months. And I don't know. I just remember it happening very organically and it was very, very quick. But every few months we would be like the last two people like walking in a group from one location to another, or we'd be the last two in a room, or like we'd be walking out to the parking lot at the same time or something. And we would have these like quick check-ins where like one of you would say like, are you still in? Are you still good? Or you something like that. I remember one of them was, are you still in? And I was like, yep. Are you? And he said, yep. And that was it.
That was it.
That was enough.
You know what it is? It's kind of like those secret engagements. Yeah, I know that you love your Jane Austen and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And so like in at least one of those, there's someone who's secretly engaged, right? In at least one of the books, or is it all of them?
I'm sure there's always someone that's secretly engaged. I'm trying to think of a secret. Lydia, one of the sisters, but it was secret in the sense that like they left. Like it wasn't like they were engaged secretly and no one knew and they were still living their lives. Like they just kind of up and left and had more like a clandestine sort of kind of thing.
But there's one where one of the girls, like a, I feel like it's like a Winona Ryder kind of person. Like she's into this guy who is actually secretly engaged to like a family friend. Is it Winona Ryder?
No, that's Gwyneth Paltrow and Emma. Emma loved Frank Churchill. Well, she didn't love him. She actually liked him more when she found out he liked someone else because she's flighty like that. But no, Emma was kind of a little bit digging, like a little flirty with Frank Churchill. And then she found out that, and he was kind of flirty with her back because he was, yeah, it was like a cover story. But he was actually secretly engaged to Jane Fairfax. That's I think who you're thinking of.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Winona Ryder was in Little Women, honey.
Yeah.
She wasn't in any Jane Austen stories.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, and so it's kind of like we were, okay, so now that we just spent 10 seconds or 7 minutes on that rabbit trail. So basically, it was like a secret engagement.
Yeah, it was. You know,
kind of like in those old-timey books of Jane Austen.
Right.
Or is it Jane Eyre or... I don't know.
No, so Jane Eyre's Bronte, but that's fine. So then we, there was the end of my senior year, the end of that summer. You came to my graduation. You saw me graduate, which was easy for you to do because a lot of youth group volunteers go to different kids' graduations. And I was not the only youth group kid from my high school that was graduating. So like it was fine for you to be there. And then, but then at the end of the summer, we had like an end of summer pool party, and it was the last week for the seniors to be there. And so that next day, I was going to be a free woman, and that was our first date. And actually, the day before that, actually the Saturday before my last Sunday, was my sister got married.
Yep.
And I asked my parents if you could come to the wedding.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'm going to marry this guy. I'm going to marry this guy. And it just seemed kind of sad that just like a technicality of 24 hours would keep you from like going to my sister's wedding, who would eventually be your sister. So you came to my sister's wedding, but that wasn't really a date. That was like a fake, that was a fake date. But our first real date was the next day, that Monday.
Well, I mean, well, here's the thing though, you know, like I went to the wedding, and then to like,
yeah, you met all the family
time after the wedding.
Yeah, like too. Super extended family, like people in from out of town and everything. Yeah, you and met so everybody like before we even started dating.
And so, like, the only people that I knew were like you and like your family.
Yeah.
And so then I was meeting your family.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, it's true.
Yeah.
So, but then we had our first date, and then.
And was that where, the pasta with the Tabasco sauce?
No, that was a different date. That was just when we were dating randomly. Really? Yeah. No, because we went to, okay, so we went on our first date. Here's another Greensboro restaurant. We went on our first date to a restaurant called Harper's, which still exists. No, hold on. We went to Harper's, and I think you still ordered your, like, three cheese sausage pasta thing that you like. But that was not the only time we went to Harper's. We went another time, and that's when you asked for Tabasco, and there was no top on it, and you poured, like, half a bottle of Tabasco into your pasta.
Yeah.
This was a different, because we were sitting by the window the first time. We were sitting by the kitchen the second time.
And you
we were in a different booth. I'm sure I got a salad the first time because you have to get a salad on your first date. Like, that's just like rule number one.
Yeah, you got a taco salad.
Yeah.
I remember
a taco salad.
See, I remember food.
That doesn't count.
I remember food.
Yeah. Now I don't play that game anymore. Screw salads. That's stupid. But yeah, so we started dating in August. It was August 12th was my sister's wedding. So the first date was technically August 14th. We were engaged the following November. And we were married the following August. So that's like, you know, so, like the normal stuff.
So it was 2 years.
It was two years.
Of relationship.
Yep. Yep. And we've been married. So I got married when I was 20.
Did it feel like
7 years?
Like 7 minutes? Did those 2 years feel like 7 minutes,
though? The 2 years were,
How about our 14 years? Have you felt like 7 minutes?
It's funny because the 2 years, like, you still, even when we started dating, you still were trying to get me to date other dudes. You were still trying.
Wait, when we were dating?
Yeah, like, even when I started, like, I went to college. Like, after, like, we had our first date. And when I remember when I went to college, like, 3 weeks after that, you said, I still want you to know, like, you don't, I mean, I really want to date you, but I want you to have a college experience. And that is probably better if you're not in a relationship with somebody. I want you to go and let, you know. You were really trying to, but you also had a really positive social college experience. And I was at my first college for 3 semesters and I had great friends there. It was really fun, but like we would hang out on the weekends and stuff. Like I didn't hang out with a lot of college friends too much.
Because you had a boyfriend.
Because I had a boyfriend.
Who was in a different stage of life.
Right. And in a different city.
Yes.
Different stage of life. You were 25.
Yes.
I was dating a 25-year-old when I was a freshman in college. Like, what is happening?
Mm-hmm. But so, those drives to come see you, if they felt like 7 minutes.
Like 7 minutes.
Yes.
And, oh my word. Kaz has very thematic humor, everyone. He will ride a joke, not only until it's dead, but it's like buried in the ground and rotting. So we were in a relationship for 2 years, and then now we've been married for 14 years, and we have 3 beautiful children, and, you know, like, it's cool.
Okay, so here's my challenge to you, Kendra.
Okay.
I challenge you to cut this podcast down to 7 minutes.
That's actually funny. Good job, honey. That's a good joke.
Thank you.
Okay, so, and so you made, like, the most genius, the most lazy genius move of your life and marrying me.
You know, kind of thinking about it, too, like, a little bit earlier, just kind of thinking through things, I was thinking, you know, like, one thing I was thinking was, you know, sometimes when you tell this story to people, it's like, oh, it's so romantic, and I don't think today's version has come off that way, but, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, it's so romantic.
It depends on who's listening.
Yeah, sure, sure.
If high school girls were listening, they think it's romantic. And I'm like, no, it's not. It was terrible.
And so, like, thinking about romanticism, that's a form of laziness, you know?
Romanticizing something?
Yeah. You know, there's a fine line between romanticizing and hoarding. You know, like, kind of holding on to things. And that's kind of what, like, being lazy for me is. Like, that's how, one way that I'm romantic is I romanticize things and I hold on to things, whether it's memories or whether it's, like a
T-shirts.
Box. Oh, yeah, sure. T-shirts.
It's impossible to get this man to get rid of anything.
Yeah. Because I romanticize things.
It's true.
Or because I'm lazy.
Right. It's kind of both. And so sometimes I'll just get rid of your things for you and not tell you.
And that's... What?
Just once or twice.
Yeah, but there is a... We'll come back to that maybe. But there is like a fine line between like romanticizing things like in a good way and being just straight lazy too.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know. That was just a cluster I had earlier.
Yeah.
Just kind of thinking about... Okay, we're going to share our story, and sometimes it comes across as so romantic, but it's about, for me, it's a story of just God, just in his favor, and his protection, and his covering over us, and yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you things I ask all of my guests.
Oh.
You didn't prepare, did you?
I don't know what these questions are.
You don't? I didn't tell you these questions?
No.
Well, I'm so sorry.
Are they the same questions that they use on that Bravo show?
Inside the Actor's Studio?
Yes.
You're going to tell us your favorite curse word?
Yes. I guess yes isn't a curse. But...
No, it's not. You don't curse. I do that for us. Your 3 questions are, tell me something right now that you love, something that you need and something that you hate. And you don't have to do it in that order.
Okay, that list went way too fast. It's late at night here.
It is late. Okay. Love, need, hate. Hate, need, love. Need, hate, love. Whatever order you need to do it in. What's the first one that you can think of? Just so I don't have to edit out a lot of silence.
This is hard.
It's just sort of like, you know, like for people to get to know the nuanced preferences and stuff like that of you. Like, it's just interesting to know those things that come to your mind right now.
I love you. I love our family.
Yeah, I mean,
no. I mean, but seriously, like, just it. Like, there are just times when I just like look at like one of our kids and think, oh man. I mean, this just where we are. This is nice, you know. And I just love this and love being here and love home. And like tonight, like praying with Ben and stuff, you know, just praying about. Our kids today, they went away, you know, and they had this big journey. They traveled on a train to Raleigh and stuff, you know, and I'm sure that you know, that was a big deal to them, you know. But then I was just glad to have them home, and just the idea of home and our heavenly home, and that's kind of what I prayed for Ben tonight and stuff. Yeah, so I love our life. I love, yeah.
You really should have been married to someone who's more sentimental than me, because I can hear the future collective aws from people, and I still love that you are that way, but I don't give you aws. I probably give you more eye rolls when you say things like "I love you" and ask you what you love. Okay. Than I should.
I hate.
You can't say you hate me, though.
No, never.
Maybe sometimes.
Never. I don't know if it's a hate or a love. Like,
okay.
Like this week, you know, I'm just reminded how much I love wearing my flip-flops. Because I hate wearing socks and shoes. So, yeah. There you go.
You can say you hate wearing socks and shoes. That's fine.
I hate wearing socks and shoes. And so, I love that now that like the school year is kind of done, that I'm wearing my flip-flops to work.
Middle school casual. What about something you need?
Something I need. Like, right now, this whole time, like, even before this, we started recording, I was thinking, man, my throat is dry. And I feel like...
That's probably something you should have taken care of before you talked into a microphone for an hour.
Yeah, and I've been thinking, like, my throat, maybe it sounds kind of scratchy and dry. So, like, I need something to drink.
Okay.
Okay, so like, you've heard, like, maybe the sentimental, romantic stuff, and then you've heard just my real practical.
It's true.
Which is usually kind of how I am.
It is. It is very much how you are. You have, those are the two main sides of your coin, I think.
Yes.
It's in their love, in their lovely sides. I'm really glad that you're those two things.
Yeah. What about you? What love?
Oh, I don't have to answer. It's my show.
No, but tonight is about people getting to know you too. Oh. So, what's something that you love?
Okay. I am loving Show Club. It's like a book club that I started, but for watching
first,
a show.
First rule of Show Club
is you can't talk about Show Club. No, this is one you can.
No Show Club.
This is one you can talk about. It's like we're watching Lost. So I have a Facebook group that some Lazy Genius people, maybe even some people listening to this right now, have joined, and we're watching Lost together. So we're watching like 3 episodes a week and talking about them. And it's just, it's like, I love that show. It's one of my favorite shows.
You're watching 3 episodes of Lost a week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are you making people write haiku?
No, I haven't shared my haikus yet. But yeah, I wrote a haiku for every single episode of Lost. Several years ago I did this. But yeah, I'll share the haikus each week as we watch those episodes.
Okay, so you love Show Club.
I love Show Club. I'm having so much fun with Show Club right now.
How many times have you watched Lost all the way through?
All the way through? I think only 2, honestly. Now, I've watched seasons 1, 2, and 3. I've watched season 1 like probably 6 or 7 times.
What?
Yeah. And then like progressively less with each other season. There are certain episodes that I've watched multiple times, like The Constant. The one with
Faraday.
No, with well, actually, I guess he is in a little bit. Is he
because
in that
of the
one?
Faraday constant?
Yeah, but it's the one with Desmond and Penny.
Penny.
I've watched that episode a lot because it's such a good episode. And I'll like fast forward episodes to like different moments that I love and stuff. But yeah, I'm really loving Show Club. Don't say anything. A lot of these people haven't seen the show.
So I can't just say random things?
No, you can't say random things. Okay. Don't be a spoiler.
Well, here's a good line from Lost. Armity. Oh, wait, no. Maybe that was Gilligan's Island. Or maybe it was from
Something I Need is
Treasure
for you to
Island.
Stop making jokes about islands.
Do you remember, like, when we were early in our relationship, like, I would just randomly give you the black spot.
You would give me the black spot from Treasure Island. What made you do that? I forgot about that. That was such a weird thing. I probably have a random black spot in, like, our memory box. Because you would. You would just give me the black spot.
Because that's just awesome.
So, something that I need sleep. Because we have a baby. So I feel like I'm always taking a nap.
Beautiful, beautiful baby.
Beautiful baby. And then something I hate. I hate Donald Trump. I'm just going to say it. I hate that man.
It's his birthday today and he's in Greensboro
today.
It
is his birthday and he is here. And I mean, I don't wish him ill. I wish him not the president. But like, let me rephrase. I don't hate him. I hate the things he says. It just, everything he says, it just makes me angry. So, that's my current hate. It's no fun. But, you know, whatever. I feel like several of my guests, their hate has been some form of, like, political something. Because it's very...
Was it the Donald, like, on SNL many years ago, was it the Donald Trump House of Wings?
Yes, it was the Donald Trump House of Wings. Donald Trump's House of Wings. And I think he was dressed in a chicken costume.
And was that really Trump?
It was, actually, because he did his face. He did, like, his badada badada chicken wings. And then his, like, weird smiley face that he does. So weird, right? Anyway.
So here's the thing, is that I don't know quite how to end this... what are we doing?
A podcast?
Yeah, how do we end this? Because, like, you know, like, usually we just talk and then we just usually just end up saying goodnight and going to bed.
Right.
Kind of a thing.
Right. Well, this is like a show. And mm-hmm. So I actually have an outro already recorded.
Okay, so you have an outro recorded.
Mm-hmm. So we can just stop talking at any time and I'll just put music on underneath it. And then I'll start saying, like, thanks for listening to the Lazy Genius podcast.
But didn't you just say that?
I did. But I say it. I've already said it another time.
So
we can just stop.
So if you don't edit out what you just said, then it's really going to confuse people.
See, what's happening right now is you're trying to write a joke that might be working, but... I'm going to stop you before you kill it. Is it dead?
No.
Yes.
much for listening. If you want to connect with Kaz online, you can't. He's never on anything, which shouldn't surprise you. Thanks, honey, for coming on my show. We'll be back next week with my girl, Emily Freeman, talking about being a boss lady and working and being an artist and tons of other things. I can't wait. And if you are enjoying this podcast and haven't left a review yet, that would be so, so fantastic. We have just 2 episodes left of this first season, and I can't thank you enough for taking the time to listen. And thank you for being part of the Lazy Genius Collective. We'll see you next week.